Hallelujah.
That was easy.
Amen. Healing. Are you convinced? I have found that the things I'm convinced about, there are times I can use a little more convincing. Would you agree with that? That's what we keep talking about. Don't just hear the word, but do the word. And faith comes by hearing. I saw on the notes from a couple of weeks ago, I forget the title of the message, but the last scripture on the other side was Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing. Our faith is increased, improved, matured as we hear and hear and hear the word of God over and over again. Well, we're going to go to Matthew chapter 8 tonight, and we'll be dealing primarily with that setting and then in Psalm 103. That says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." You'll know the passage. And so let's look here in Matthew chapter 8, and starting in verse 1. It says, "When he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him." How many heard this on television this morning? I didn't know he was going to talk about it. But God knew. JP. It's all right. I heard it. Joseph Prince talked about this verse this morning. Y'all know who JP is. Mine's the 8 o'clock version. Y'all do the early morning thing. Me and Jesus don't meet that early in the morning. Matthew 8, verse 1. "When he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him." Now watch these next two verses. "And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately his leprosy was cleansed." Now I want to tell you tonight, my God is willing to heal. My God is willing to heal. The question is, are we convinced of his willingness? Are we convinced he is a healing God? You know, you've got to become convinced that he's a healing God, that he cares for us. If you are convinced that by his stripes you are healed, how many believe that tonight? 1 Peter 2:24. By his stripes you were healed. You are healed. It says you were in the New Testament. If you are convinced of that, then you are not the sick trying to get healed. You will never be the sick trying to get healed, but you are the healed standing firm on what Jesus purchased for you at the cross, and you will not ignore you will not ignore any symptom from the enemy. And what I mean by that is, don't just leave it alone. Address it. How many of you know that when there's, we talked about mountains that become, molehills that become mountains. If we didn't address the molehills, we end up having a mountain to face. So when symptoms come along, that's the time to address it. When they first show up, capture the first thought, deal with it, begin to speak what the Word of God says. Well, this leper came to Jesus, and here's some history about this leper and leprosy in general. No one was allowed to touch him according to the Old Covenant. Yet knowing what the law said, this leper said to Jesus, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Now I want you to understand that the "you can make me clean" was, he really believed that Jesus could. What he didn't know is if Jesus was willing. He knew that Jesus can, and there's a lot of people that believe that God heals. If you ask people, do they believe in miracles? Even a heathen will tell you they believe in miracles. Even hospital staff will tell you they believe in miracles and they've seen unexplainable things, but don't necessarily believe that Jesus is the healer. So he believed that God can, that Jesus can make him clean. He just didn't know if Jesus was willing to make him clean. I believe that he knew that God was a healing God, that he knew Jesus was a healing God. He just didn't believe that God was willing to heal him. Well, let me explain. I think there are many who know that God can, but do not believe that God is willing. And many times this misguided belief, I call this a misguided belief, and it's because of people's past sins, past mistakes, which make them currently feel disqualified from God's goodness. It's possible that this leper felt disqualified. I know that God can. I know that he has the power. After all, he knew the law. He had heard about the history of what God has done in the people, but he didn't know if God was willing to heal him. Well, there are reasons for that. According to Old Testament law, if a person was found to have leprosy, his clothes were to be torn, his head was to be uncovered, his mouth was to be covered, and wherever he went, he was to cry, "Unclean, unclean," in order to warn people that he was coming. That was his announcement. That declared officially that, hey, I'm a leper. There's something about me that you don't want to be around. Can you imagine a person like that who was forced into a mentality that thought that way also could possibly think that God would not be willing to heal them? Lepers of that time also lived in colonies apart from all civilization and had nothing to do with any type of community. The Bible says in Numbers 5:22, it talks about three things that disqualify you from being a part of society. And I listed them there in Numbers 5:22. He says they're to be put out of the camp. Every leper, everyone who has a discharge, talking about a discharge of blood, and whoever becomes defiled by a corpse. So don't hang out with the dead. I'm thinking about Ray Stevens setting up with the dead. In case you've never seen it, I have the video. But in Jesus' day, it was also thought that if a person contracted leprosy, and people were not all specifically born with leprosy, but if they contracted leprosy, what they thought was it was a form of punishment from God and was because of something they had done. You remember we read tonight from Isaiah 53, and we'll be doing that in a moment from a different translation, but they deemed Jesus stricken by God, I think the King James says. Well, that's how the world thinks. I've got all this stuff, and society thinks that God did it. And if God did it, then God is not willing to heal me. As this leper said, if you are willing, you can make me clean. I want you to think about that. Here's Jesus, the Son of Man. Jesus, who went around healing folks. And this leper says, if you are willing, you can. But my believing you can is based on my other problem with not really believing that you're willing to. Isn't it amazing that knowing that you're not supposed to touch the unclean, the leper, that Jesus, the Bible said, put out his hand, and there he goes, messing with the law, touched him. Jesus put out his hand. I mean, obviously, if I'm saying, if you're willing, I know you know, I'm not worthy of God being willing to do anything for me, but I know you can, but Jesus put out his hand. That shows an indication of him willing to do something. And then he touched him. And he clarified, or he addressed the man's problem as far as wondering if God was willing. He said, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. I've run across this pastor in Florida by the name of Clyde Oliver, Pastor Clyde Oliver. He said this, it is impossible for Satan to plan your destruction, but he does plan your distractions. I want you to think about that. How does he do it? Well, we know he does it with lies. It's impossible if you think the devil's out to get you, and I've heard more testimonies about that in my life than I ever want to hear in the rest of my life. If you think the devil can destroy you, you are mistaken. If you're a child of God and you're believing God's word and you're believing divine protection, the devil has no inroad to you. You are protected by the blood of Jesus. But what the devil can do is present distractions. He has a plan for distraction. Well, I said that, and I think it was appropriate to read that simply because of this. Symptoms can simply be a distraction. You know, one of the things we do when there's a symptom is we begin to focus on the symptom. And what does it distract us from? Focusing on the Word of God. All right? So everything the enemy tries, understand, he really doesn't care about your situation. He just wants to get you away from the Word of God. And so symptoms can become a distraction. And they are to keep you from focusing on the fact that you are not the sick trying to get healed, but you are the healed resisting sickness at every turn. We know that Jesus already bore your infirmity. Jesus already bore all sickness at the cross. And Isaiah 53, 4 and 5 bears that out. Therefore, healing belongs to you. Say, healing belongs to me. Matter of fact, go ahead and say, it's mine. Say, healing belongs to me, and it's mine. Isaiah 53, 4 and 5 from the Amplified says, surely he has bore our griefs, and griefs is expression. Let me explain the Amplified. If you've ever seen an Amplified, we have used to didn't hook into sound systems with our guitars. What do we hook into? Amplifiers. Some of us still have an amplifier. Most people that are more modern than I do not. I have an amplifier. Well, there was a day when people read the King James Version of the Bible. As a matter of fact, if you didn't read out of the King James Version of the Bible, there are churches they wouldn't let you preach in. It had to be the King James. And you know, you had to deal with all those thou shalt nots and thou shouldest and wouldest and couldest and, you know, all of that stuff. And so somebody came up with a version of the Bible where you could actually take the Greek and Hebrew and kind of mix it in and amplify what the King James was saying. Now, there were some other translations in that time, like the Living Bible and so on. And so what we're reading here, when he says, surely he has borne our griefs, then it amplifies what should be in there in the first place, and it says that griefs means sicknesses, weaknesses, and distresses. I'm so glad, we know sickness and disease is kind of a combination issue. He addresses weaknesses, and he also addresses distresses. I'm so glad that he addresses distresses when he, that's a mouthful right there, addresses distresses, when the Amplified was put together. And so it says, and carried our sorrows. Anybody ever had any sorrows? And pains. Anybody ever had any pains? Well, this says pains of punishment. You know, pain can be punishing. Pain doesn't feel good. Pain feels like somebody is trying to punish you. Who is? All right, not God, all right? It says, yet we ignorantly considered him stricken. I'm glad the word ignorantly is shown there. We ignorantly considered him stricken, smitten, and afflicted by God, as if with leprosy. So that was the view in that day. Verse 5, but, you know, the but here, I remember the message preached on Yeah, But. You know, God will, yeah, but it kind of says to me that, okay, we've said what people think, but here's the truth of the thing. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our guilt and iniquities. The chastisement needful to obtain peace and well-being, say peace and well-being, the chastisement needful to obtain peace and well-being for us was upon him. And with his stripes, the stripes that wounded him, we are healed and made whole. Is healing, is being healed and made whole two different things? It is. I'm looking for being whole, totally whole. We might even call that divine health. So again, symptoms are a distraction. So let me ask you this evening, I want to talk about two extreme levels of affliction tonight. One is when a headache comes. Let me know what a headache is. I'm not talking about migraines. They can get pretty severe, but a headache. It was rubbing against my face. I just needed to get a little wet.
Was a bad thing to
When a headache comes, what is your first response? Now, I'm not asking you or telling you how I deal with it. I think you might guess, but and I probably can guess how you deal with it, but I want you to think tonight. What is your first response? Because some people actually don't address a headache. Why? It's a molehill, not a big thing. Some people don't address small physical situations. You know, I can take a couple of Tylenol, not a big deal, go lay down for a little while. As a matter of fact, I've heard people say this. When some light thing comes, they will say this, I'll take a couple of Tylenol and go lay down for a while. And I'm thinking, or, yeah, this is the one I'm thinking, you know, or, you know, that's your first response? And not intending to be judgmental or critical at all, but let me ask you this. Do you respond by declaring ownership of the affliction and begin to say, my headache, my cancer, my sickness, my disease? Have you heard about my ulcer? Let me tell you something. I want everybody to look up here. This Bible, this is my Bible. I want to tell you why it's my Bible. Because somebody bought it for me, and it has my name on it right there. This is my Bible. This Bible is not me. I'm the owner of this Bible. Okay? So when I say my Bible, I'm claiming ownership of my Bible. You can't have my Bible. If I get another one and you really want it that bad, there's a chance I might give it up. But currently it's my Bible. But I want to tell you that if you have a headache, one of the things I would recommend you quit doing is declaring ownership of my headache. Because you'll find yourself in a conversation with someone and they'll say, have you heard about my headaches? The headaches I get. I mean, nobody has headaches like my headaches. Now you say, well, that kind of sounds, you know, elementary, you know, really childish. Well, you're right. But people do that. I hear it all the time. My pain. Have you heard about what I go through? Well, if you really want to tell me, let's talk about it. But let's also expect to pray. Or is your first response made known by the voice of faith, declaring your trust in the Word of God and speaking it out of your mouth? I mean, you say, well, what's the big deal about speaking it out? Well, you just got through speaking my headache. I mean, it wasn't a big deal to tell everybody about my headache. Have you heard about my, you know, I've got this pain, I got this problem. And sometimes, if it's something that can be seen, it's almost like show and tell. Remember show and tell in school? You know, did you see the toy I got? I got this nice toy and I brought it to show. And people are, look here, you know. And somebody else will come along and say, well, have you seen this one? well, but look at the growth on my ear, you know. I mean, it's just like show and tell. So we will say my pain, but how about saying, I resist that in the name of Jesus. I am not the sick trying to get healed, but I am the healed, and I am standing firm on the Word of God. And there's one of two things that's got to bend and bow. One will be the pain, or the other will be the Word of God. And the Word of God coming out of my mouth will never bow to affliction. Some people will ask for prayer if they're diagnosed with cancer in their body, but will never address a headache with the Word of God. Amazing. Why is that? Well, a mountain is more threatening. We got a mountain now. I mean, you know, my life is being threatened, so please pray. But if we weren't going to deal with that molehill, that little headache, you see what I'm saying? Okay. We know the blood of Jesus heals all sickness, all disease, his broken body, and declares them defeated foes. So I want to encourage you that we take the Word of God and firmly declare what belongs to you. Just like said tonight, you can say it's mine. As a matter of fact, I do that in prayer. I would recommend more than the prayer of petition, I would recommend the prayer of thanksgiving. See, there's been too many, God, you owe it to me. God, please, if you don't, I'm going to die. God, please, it could be something really. How about just, I thank you, Lord, that healing is mine. I thank you, Lord, that your word works. I thank you that you're not a God that you should lie. What you say in your word is the truth, and I thank you that it's mine. Amen. Prayer of thanksgiving. I'm actually going to preach about that someday. I'm going to take all those little spurts that I've been speaking in sermons and put them together and preach a message on it. I don't know where the noise is coming from. Keep standing firm on the Word of God, no matter what. Stand firm. Don't give up. Don't give in. Stand on what God says and never let go of the life of divine health that God has promised you. If you're going to go for, I don't like go for broke. If you're going to go for the gusto, I don't like that word either. But if you're going to go, what? If you're going to go for the gold, there you go. If you're in school, I ran track. I've got a sweater that's got medals all up and down the arm. I know about going for the gold. You don't go to a race and deliberately go for the silver. You never go for a race and go for the bronze. You get made fun of for going for the bronze. Go for the gold. Go intending to win, because the one that goes intending not to win, not believing they're going to win, is the one that don't win. Go for the gold. Well, the gold is believing for a divine health, a life of divine health. I thank you. And if you believe that it's yours, then guess what you can do? Father, I thank you that divine health is mine. I've received it by faith, Father, and I thank you that it's mine according to your word, and I'm not settling for anything less. And then all of a sudden this pain comes up. Thank you, Father, that divine health is mine. You promised it in your word. The body of Jesus was broken so that I could have divine health. By the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed, and it's mine. Don't change your confession just because something new arises. Jesus responded to this leper and put his hand out and touched him, even though I'm sure there were plenty of people standing around. People that were ready to judge and condemn and say, you know you're not supposed to touch the unclean. A good Jewish boy would know that. Jesus touched this leper, and he said, I am willing, be cleansed. Everybody say the word immediately. Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. I have a whole other half of a message, and I feel prompted to stop here tonight. So guess what we're going to do next Thursday? We're going to continue on with Psalm 103, and it's good. Did you get anything out of this tonight? Amen. All right, it's 8 o'clock. Let's take a couple of minutes, questions, comments, and just talk about this.